Principle 5.12. Be cautious about trusting AI without having deep understanding. I worry about the dangers of AI in cases where users accept or, worse, act upon the cause-effect relationships presumed in algorithms produced by machine learning without understanding them deeply. Before I explain why, I want to clarify my terms. Artificial intelligence and machine learning are words that are thrown around casually and often used as synonyms, even though they are quite different. I categorize what is going on in the world of computer-aided decision-making under three broad types: expert systems, mimicking, and data mining. These categories are mine and not the ones in common use in the technology world. Expert systems are what we use at Bridgewater, where designers specify criteria based on their logical understandings of a set of cause-effect relationships and then see how different scenarios would emerge under different circumstances. But computers can also observe patterns and apply them in their decision-making without having any understanding of the logic behind them. I call such an approach mimicking. This can be effective when the same things happen reliably over and over again and are not subject to change, such as in a game bounded by hard and fast rules. But in the real world, things do change, so a system can easily fall out of sync with reality. The main thrust of machine learning in recent years has gone in the direction of data mining, in which powerful computers ingest massive amounts of data and look for patterns. While this approach is popular, it's risky in cases when the future might be different from the past. Investment systems built on machine learning that is not accompanied by deep understanding are dangerous, because when some decision rule is widely believed, it becomes widely used, which affects the price. In other words, the value of a widely known insight disappears over time. Without deep understanding, you won't know if what happened in the past is genuinely of value, and even if it was, you will not be able to know whether or not its value has disappeared, or worse. It's common for some decision rules to become so popular that they push the price far enough that it becomes smarter to do the opposite. Remember that computers have no common sense. For example, a computer could easily misconstrue the fact that people wake up in the morning and then eat breakfast to indicate that waking up makes people hungry. I'd rather have fewer bets, ideally uncorrelated ones, in which I am highly confident, than more bets I'm less confident in, and would consider it intolerable if I couldn't argue the logic behind any of my decisions. A lot of people vest their blind faith in machine learning because they find it much easier than developing deep understanding. For me, that deep understanding is essential, especially for what I do. I don't mean to imply that these mimicking or data mining systems, as I call them, are useless. In fact, I believe that they can be extremely useful in making decisions in which the future range and configuration of events are the same as they've been in the past. Given enough computing power, all possible variables can be taken into consideration. For example, by analyzing data about the moves that great chess players have made under certain circumstances or the procedures great surgeons have used during certain types of operations, valuable programs can be created for chess playing or surgery. Back in 1997, the computer program Deep Blue beat Garry Kasparov, the world's highest-ranked chess player, using just this approach. But this approach fails in cases where the future is different from the past and you don't know the cause-effect relationships well enough to recognize them all. Understanding these relationships as I do has saved me from making mistakes when others did, most obviously in the 2008 financial crisis. Nearly everyone else assumed that the future would be similar to the past. Focusing strictly on the logical cause-effect relationships was what allowed us to see what was really going on. When you get down to it, our brains are essentially computers that are programmed in certain ways, take in data, and spit out instructions. We can program the logic in both the computer that is our mind and the computer that is our tool so that they can work together and even double-check each other. And doing that is fabulous. For example, suppose we were trying to derive the universal laws that explain species change over time. Theoretically, with enough processing power and time, this should be possible. We would need to make sense of the formulas the computer produces, of course, to make sure that they are not data mined gibberish, by which I mean based on correlations that are not causal in any way. We would do this by constantly simplifying these rules until their elegance is unmistakable. Of course, given our brain's limited capacity and processing speed, it could take us forever to achieve a rich understanding of all the variables that go into evolution. Is all the simplifying and understanding that we employ in our expert systems truly required? Maybe not. There is certainly a risk that changes not in the tested data might still occur, but one might argue that if our data mining-based formulas seem able to account for the evolution of all species through all time, then the risks of relying on them for just the next 10, 20, or 50 years is relatively low compared to the benefits of having a formula that appears to work but is not fully understandable, and that at the very least might prove useful in helping scientists cure genetic diseases. In fact, we may be too hung up on understanding. Conscious thinking is only one part of understanding. Maybe it's enough that we derive a formula for change and use it to anticipate what is yet to come. I myself find the excitement, lower risk, and educational value of achieving a deep understanding of cause-effect relationships much more appealing than a reliance on algorithms I don't understand, so I am drawn to that path. But is it my lower-level preferences and habits that are pulling me in this direction, or is it my logic and reason? I'm not sure. I look forward to probing the best minds in artificial intelligence on this, and having them probe me. Most likely, our competitive natures will compel us to place bigger and bigger bets on relationships computers find that are beyond our understanding. Some of those bets will pay off while others will backfire. I suspect that AI will lead to incredibly fast and remarkable advances, but I also fear that it could lead to our demise. We are headed for an exciting and perilous new world. That's our reality, and as always, I believe that we are much better off preparing to deal with it than wishing it weren't true.
Life principles, putting it all together. In order to have the best life possible, you have to know what the best decisions are and have the courage to make them. In Life Principles, I've explained some principles that help me do both of these things. I believe that because the same kinds of things happen over and over again, a relatively few well-thought-out principles will allow you to deal with just about anything that reality throws at you. Where you get these principles from doesn't matter as much as having them and using them consistently, and that you never stop refining and improving them. To acquire principles that work, it's essential that you embrace reality and deal with it well. Don't fall into the common trap of wishing that reality worked differently than it does, or that your own realities were different. Instead, embrace your realities and deal with them effectively. After all, making the most of your circumstances is what life is all about. This includes being transparent with your thoughts and open-mindedly accepting the feedback of others. Doing it will dramatically increase your learning. Along your journey, you will inevitably experience painful failures. It's important to realize that they can either be the impetus that fuels your personal evolution, or they can ruin you depending on how you react to them. I believe that evolution is the greatest force in the universe and that we all evolve in basically the same way. Conceptually, it looks like a series of loops that either lead upward toward constant improvement or remain flat or trend downward toward ruin. You will determine what your loops look like. Your evolutionary process can be described as a five-step process for getting what you want. It consists of setting your goals, identifying and not tolerating problems, diagnosing problems, coming up with designs to get around them, and then doing the tasks required. The important thing to remember is that no one can do all of those steps well alone, but it's possible to do them with the help of others. Different people with different abilities working together create the most powerful machines to produce achievements. If you're willing to confront reality, accept the pain that comes with that, and follow the five-step process to drive yourself toward your goals, you're on the path to success. Yet most people fail to do this because they hold on to bad opinions that could easily be rectified by going above themselves to objectively look down on their situations and weigh what they and others think about it. It's for that reason I believe that you must be radically open-minded. Our biggest barriers for doing this well are our ego barrier and our blindness barrier. The ego barrier is our innate desire to be capable and have others recognize us as such. The blindness barrier is the result of our seeing things through our own subjective lenses. Both barriers can prevent us from seeing how things really are. The most important antidote for them is radical open-mindedness, which is motivated by the genuine worry that one might not be seeing one's choices optimally. Radical open-mindedness is the ability to effectively explore different points of view and different possibilities without letting your ego or blind spots get in your way. Doing this well requires practicing thoughtful disagreement, which is the process of seeking out brilliant people who disagree with you in order to see things through their eyes and gain a deeper understanding. Doing this well will raise your probability of making good decisions and will also give you a fabulous education. If you can learn radical open-mindedness and practice thoughtful disagreement, you'll radically increase your learning. Finally, being radically open-minded requires you to have an accurate self-assessment of your own and others' strengths and weaknesses. This is where understanding something about how the brain works and the different psychometric assessments that can help you discover what your brain is like comes in. To get the best results out of yourself and others, you must understand that people are wired very differently. In a nutshell, learning how to make decisions the best possible way and learning how to have the courage to make them comes from going after what you want, failing and reflecting well through radical open-mindedness, and changing, evolving to become ever more capable and less fearful. In the final chapter of this section, Learn How to Make Decisions Effectively, I shared some more granular principles for how to do all of the above and weigh your options in specific situations to determine the right path to follow. You can, of course, do all of these things alone, but if you understood anything about the concepts of radical open-mindedness, it should be obvious that going it alone will only take you so far. We all need others to help us triangulate and get at the best possible decisions, and to help us see our weaknesses objectively and compensate for them. More than anything else, your life is affected by the people around you and how you interact with each other. Your ability to get what you want when working with others who want the same things is much greater than your ability to get those things by yourself. Yet we haven't talked about how groups should operate to be most effective. That's what we'll do in Work Principles. Work Principles is about people working together. Because the power of a group is so much greater than the power of an individual, the principles that follow are likely even more important than the ones we've covered up until this point. In fact, I wrote them first and then wrote life principles in order to help others make sense of the approach I was implicitly applying running Bridgewater. My work principles are basically the life principles applied to groups. I will show you, principle by principle, how an actual, practical, believability-weighted decision-making system converts independent thinking into effective group decision-making. I believe that such a system can work to make any kind of organization, business, government, philanthropic, both more effective and more satisfying to belong to.